You know, there's something that feels kind of good when you're standing in the light. I mean, it seems that when you're in the light, it's just warmer. You kind of absorb the light. And as we reflect on some of the things we've been talking about over the last 6 weeks and some of the things God's been doing in our hearts, you know, there's something intriguing about this being, this figure, this influential person that was known as the light. In fact, you realize that Jesus, everywhere he went, it was just brighter. I mean, it was warmer. People wanted to be around the light. John even said at one point, he said, in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. One of the things that Jesus has called us to do is to be that light to others. And to reflect that light. And to share that light. And to send that light over and over and over throughout the world. In fact, as we share that light with others, it's amazing because the people around us begin to feel that light. They begin to be absorbed by that light. They begin to feel the warmth of that light. In fact, as we read in Ephesians chapter 5, it says that light illuminates and it illuminates all around the world. I'd love for you to spend just a few moments as you sit here reflecting on whether you're willing to be that light and to allow that light to invade into every aspect of your soul, into every aspect of your life, so that you in turn might be able to send that light to others and to bring illumination all around you. You know, the world's simply just looking for people who are willing to be vulnerable, people who are willing to receive the light, people who are willing to reflect that light, that very light that's been illuminated in us. Great to be with you this morning. Great to have you here at Cross Point. My name's Kurt. If we have not had a chance to meet, and I tell you what, if you are here for the first time today, you have caught us on a fantastic weekend because we are on the back end at the end of a six-week journey, a six-week series, where we're kind of punctuating this whole process that we've been going through over the last 6 weeks of rebooting or reprogramming, if you will, some of our assumptions on the most influential person that's ever walked the planet, the person of Jesus. And I tell you what, man, this has just been a really cool time for me. In fact, I think this has been like the best 6 weeks of my year this year. How about you guys? Did you guys enjoy the reboot journey? Holy cow, it's just been absolutely amazing. And we have heard cool story after cool story from small groups to things that are happening, you know, personally for you through the journal to weekend experiences to the cemetery experience. I mean, all kinds of cool stories that God has been, you know, kind of revealing himself to you in unique ways. And for me, I just want to share a couple of them with you this morning. One is from one of my small groups that my wife and I are in. We were at a party a month and a half ago, 2 months ago, with some of my wife's colleagues that she used to work with up in Noblesville. And we saw, I don't know, 10 or 12 people that attend Cross Point in some way, shape, or form. And we just felt burdened. We said, you know, when we do this journey, we really need to create a group for some of our friends because many of them have never had the chance to be in a small group before or never have joined. And if we, you know, start a group, maybe they'll join. So we began a group, invited them. And two of the people that came were my wife's principal and his wife, the principal she used to work for. So basically like her old boss. For like 10, 12 years, he worked for Bob and worked with his wife, Sherry, and they became a part of our group. And I tell you what, it has just been the coolest thing to see kind of the light switches turn on in terms of Jesus becoming so real over these past 6 weeks for them, so much so that Bob was willing to share a bit of his story with us and what that's looked like. And so take a look at the screens here for us.
This journey has deepened and enriched my relationship with the Lord. It has enabled me to think more here than here. Reputation versus reality was one of the things we talked about in our small group. And that gave me a huge opportunity to do some deep thinking with respect to what that really means, reputation versus reality. What I thought I knew about my relationship with the Lord versus what it really was. And it doesn't mean simply that that relationship was not what it should be. It's what I thought it was to be. But as I searched deeper in my heart and we went further into our study over those 6 weeks, I found out that it wasn't really coming from my heart as much as it was coming from my head. The one thing that really came out forthright to me and was His forgiveness. That was the one thing that that really rebooted that I didn't have a real grasp of. It was His forgiveness, the fact that through prayer, that forgiveness was there. I always carried around with me a sense of guilt. Like I couldn't adhere to what those expectations, those standards, again, what I thought was reality in my relationship with the Lord. I never felt like I could uphold that. And I felt a lot of guilt. But then through this journey, I gained a better understanding of what forgiveness was, and especially as it related to prayer. A small group is something that, we've heard a lot. We've been, my wife and I have been attenders here for going on almost 2 years, and we've talked about it. We've said, we coulda, shoulda, woulda kind of a thing. But before this last opportunity, a few weeks before that, I know one of the services, Adejua had mentioned about small groups, his experience and the impact. And you know, that really hit home. That really hit home. It's like, come on, buddy, step up, take advantage of this opportunity to grow. And when Adejua mentioned that, it really hit home with me. And boy, oh boy, I will tell you, these last 6 weeks have been, honestly, have been life-changing for me. In fact, we shared in our culminating session last evening that, boy, do we want it to go on? I just stepped right up. I just felt like, absolutely. Look at what it's done in my heart with regards to growth and becoming closer to the Lord. Only imagine what it could do with another session. This opportunity over these last several weeks has given me a reaffirmation of my faith, but at a level or in a direction that it, preceding that it wasn't. Such a reaffirmation that although Sherry, my wife, and I have been baptized, we're stepping up. We're going through baptism again. We're going through baptism this week. And that is simply because we look at this as a reaffirmation of our faith. And based on what we've learned, what we were able to share from our heart in our study, in our small group study, it's just helps us to reaffirm to the Lord and to ourselves that we're basically rededicating ourselves to Him. It's a celebration of where we were, where we've come from, and where we're at now, and wow, what every day we are able to celebrate now because of that reformed, that reaffirmed relationship with the Lord at a level that, again, speaking for myself, rather than coming from here, it's coming from here. And it's fired me up, and I'm very excited about it. And what a way to go! What a way to go!
Oh my word! Let's thank Bob. He's in the room this morning. Thank you, Bob, for being generous enough to share that. Tell you what, when I watch that, my heart's just full on that, because you know, when people that have been really important and significant and dear to your heart begin to have this kind of experience, man, I tell you what, that's a game changer right there. Well, what's next? Where do we go next as we wrap this thing up? Well, a couple things. One, I want to invite you to return next weekend. In fact, this is one of our next steps on your connection card. If you're following along on the back of the card, there's some next steps Next weekend we have, it's really the beginning of Thanksgiving week, so we're going to kick that off here at Crosspoint with a theme called the State of Gratitude. And I don't know, there's many more things that will affect you emotionally, physically, mentally, and spiritually, and physiologically than a posture or a state of gratitude. This posture, when we are thankful for things around us, which we should do all year round, but we especially do this time of year, it changes us. And so we're going to celebrate next weekend. Hope you'll be here as we do that and just celebrate all that God's been doing. And then 2 weeks from this weekend, believe it or not, we begin Christmas here at Crosspoint. How about that? You guys excited about Christmas? Yes. All right. Christmas kicks off on Sunday, December 1. We will not have our Thursday night service that week. On Thanksgiving night, we will not be having a service. So Christmas begins on December 1st. And we have a brand new series called Oh, What Fun. Oh, What Fun. That's what Christmas is going to be. And I tell you what, Christmas is fascinating because, you know, I love Christmas, by the way. It's like my favorite season of the year. Probably many of your favorite seasons of the year as well from your enthusiasm. But here's the thing that's crazy about Christmas. You know, there's a Christmas you want, and then there's the Christmas you get. You know what I'm saying? Like there's a difference between the two. And the unique thing about Jesus and this whole story is Jesus brings us exactly what we need in the midst of that. And so we're going to continue to look at some of the character traits and the unique personality traits of what Jesus brings to our lives in this moment where he emerges in flesh and blood at Christmas. So hope you'll plan to be with us through that. And I tell you what, I think Christmas is going to be, this Christmas for some of us, it's going to be the best Christmas ever because of what Jesus has become to us over these last few weeks and months. And so really excited for that. Now, today is baptism weekend. And so maybe today is your day. Maybe some of you are planning to get in the tub today. And I tell you what, it's going to be an exciting morning. And for many of us, we've taken first steps of faith over these last 6 weeks. Others of us, you've just gone deeper in your faith or maybe had a rededication moment in your faith. And so, you know, maybe you were baptized as a child or an infant, you were christened. You don't remember it. It was something your parents chose for you, but you've chosen to follow Jesus with your life. We practice believer baptism, which is based on this belief that you step into the baptism tub as an expression of your faith as a result of you choosing to receive Jesus. And so maybe today's your day and you need to take the step into the tub today. Or maybe you've just never got around to baptism. Maybe you've been following Jesus for a number of years. Or maybe you just recently became a Christian. I tell you what, this is one of the most powerful steps you can take as kind of an affirmation of your faith. It's very similar to my wedding ring on my hand. This wedding ring does not make me married to my wife. What solidified that was our vows, the commitments we made to one another, and then we signed a marriage license. This is just simply an expression of, hey, I'm married. And when light shines off of it, I see it, it reminds me that, I there's something I'm united to. I'm united to my wife. Many of us during this journey, you maybe filled out this adoption certificate for the very first time, and you received your adoption into sonship or daughtership into God's family, and you've never taken the step of baptism. And so today maybe is your day to express that publicly. And so I just want you to think about that as we go through the morning. Now, I know for many of us, we've had a lot of growth over the last 6 weeks. And if you're like me, it's cool to see what Jesus is doing and what he's becoming. But if we're really, really honest, there are still some dark places in our lives. There's still some places that we're not real proud of in our life, right? I mean, am I the only one that has places that I'm not real proud of? Okay, good. I thought maybe I was the only one. And so I want to encourage us a bit this morning because this is going to be the challenge for the rest of our lives. And the Apostle Paul, he says something really fascinating in Ephesians chapter 5. Now, let me explain Paul before I read this because, you know, Paul, he wrote more of the New Testament than any other figure. More than half of the New Testament was inked by Paul. And you might think, well, he obviously just grew up in the church. He grew up around faith. He was raised in this. Well, it was actually quite the opposite. Paul actually was a rule follower. He was a Pharisee, and he actually was trying to put Christians in jail. He was commanding Christians to be killed, and so he actually was responsible for a lot of deaths of Christians in the first century until he became one. And then he just had this life change where he totally did an about face and began to go a different direction. And so he knows something about the dark places of his past and the need for working through some of those things. So here's what he says in Ephesians 5. He says, but everything exposed by the light, get this, and we know this, becomes visible. It becomes visible. When I was in my early 20s, I had a number of dark places in my life, but I had one of those was a hidden addiction. And it was, it'd been going on since I'd probably been, I don't know, 11, 12 years old, my, you know, preteen years. And it was the kind of thing, I became a Christian after that. After I started that addiction, I thought, well, once I become a Christian, this will all be good and it'll get, you know, rid of this in my life. But that didn't happen. As much as I prayed about it, as much as I tried to suppress it and kind of ignore it, it was continued to be there. It had just a deep hold. In fact, one of the scariest things I ever did as an adult was when I allowed light to shine in on that addiction. And I shared with some of the men in my men's small group at that time when I was about 24 years old, man, I've got a porn addiction. And it's been going on for a number of years, and it's a dark place, and I know it shouldn't be there, but I need to illuminate that. And I didn't know if they would accept me or tell me what a terrible person I was and say, you're out of our group, but I tell you what, they embraced me, and the revealing of that darkness, the revealing of allowing that light to invade in and illuminate that place, I tell you what, that darkness began to dissipate, and over the next couple months, a couple years even, they helped me walk through and rid that out of my life because it was exposed, and there was no longer shame or need to hide. And see, we get that physically with the light. We know when we turn a light switch on, the room immediately goes light. But take a look at what he says next. He says, everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This becomes something that God uses to shine light into other places. This is why it said, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead. He said, wake up, wake up. He says, and Christ will shine on you. What he's saying is, hey, some of us, we've been sleeping. We need to wake up. We need to quit hitting the snooze button. We need to realize there continues to be places in our lives where Jesus wants to bring freedom, and it comes when we're willing to expose light into those dark places. But see, here's what you and I do. You and I, we think we can just tuck those places away. We can kind of keep them hidden in the corner. We even pick the rug up and we just kind of sweep them under the rug, right? Family of origin issues, back, you know, darkness from our past, whatever it might be, we sweep them under the rug. And if we're honest, I mean, if we're really honest, there's certain dark places in our life we don't really want to give up. And we kind of like them that way. In fact, I was going to say, it's like a toddler in a diaper. You know, you see a toddler over in the corner and they're just like grunting away, right? They're like trying to drop the bomb, and finally, boom, you know, it hits and they load their drawers and you notice it, right? You go over and you're like, hey, you know, buddy, you need me to change your diaper? And they're like, no, it's mine. No. You know, they're trying to hide it, right? And they walk around and it stinks and it's starting to create a rash because they're just sitting on it and walking in it. But they do the same thing you and I do. They're like, what? It's warm and I made it. And so I think I'll keep it if you don't mind for a while, right? And so we just keep walking around and we spend an enormous amount of time waddling around while rash sets in and then it's painful and we have to hide it and we're feeling bad about it. We feel shame. And so recently I heard three really powerful words that I want to share with you this morning that help us kind of address some of these dark places in our lives. And I heard these from Jenny Stevens at Soul City Church up in Chicago. And they were so helpful to me because they identified so many different seasons of my life where these things played out, and I think it might be exactly what we need as we step into the next journey, post-reboot journey. So there are themes in our lives. There's themes in our lives, ways that we travel into the dark places. And I'm going to tell you something. If you've had change over these last 6 weeks and you've begun to see Jesus differently, I can guarantee you dark places are begin to show up in your life. They may already be showing up because, see, there is an intelligent darkness in the world. And this intelligent darkness wants to keep you from getting free. And it wants to keep you from living the life that Jesus has designed you to live. And it wants to pull you back and keep you in the dark and keep you from moving forward. So I want to give you these three words today. And I just want you to think about which one lands, maybe all of them, but which one really lands with me this morning. And so the first theme, the first way that you and I tend to travel into dark places is through something we call control. Control. And I want to just share some of my personal kind of experiences on this for a bit this morning, some of my personal experience of my work life, because I don't know what your work life's like. I've never worked in corporate America and in secular America. I've always been in a church setting. So I'm just going to share some of my personal experiences. But if you've ever managed customer bases or you're responsible to, you know, manage clients or patients, or, you know, you own a business or work in a business that's about customer engagement or customer ownership, you're going to have very similar experiences to me. See, for me, you know, as a pastor, there can be so many good things happen. There can be, you know, people getting baptized and people coming to faith and children seeing Jesus for who he is. And we can see darkness getting eradicated out of people's lives, all kinds of really cool things. And all it takes is one little comment, somebody going, hey, Kurt, did you know so-and-so? Did you know they left Crosspoint? They're not going to our church anymore. And I'm like, what are you talking about? You know, and you know what happens in that moment? Immediately control sets in. I'm like, why don't they like us? Why don't they like me? What don't they like about what we're doing? And I don't know why it always is that, you know, I know not everybody's going to land at Crosspoint. I get that. It still hurts. It's still like you hate it. And yet sometimes it's, you know, best for them maybe. But I don't know why I always assume I'm going to get an email, you know, from them just saying, hey, Kurt, it's been great. I mean, the last 3, 4, 5, 6 years, I don't know, however long, been awesome. You've just poured so much into us, and I just want to say thank you. I mean, that moment when my marriage was all but done, and yet you came in and prayed with us and pointed us to some direction for getting some restoration through counseling. Oh my gosh, we wouldn't be where we are without this place. And, you know, that moment when we, you know, had that miscarriage, and man, you guys just surrounded us and, you know, walked alongside. And I mean, gosh, some of my best friends are from our small group. I mean, some of the most life-giving people are people we connected with here. And I just want to thank you for that. That email never comes or rarely comes. And if you manage customers, if you manage, you know, client bases, you know. I mean, people just kind of come and go and, you know, it never comes. But see, what happens is so many times in that moment, I'm like, okay, God, I've just poured my life into this or that or so-and-so, and it wasn't enough. So I got to do better. I got to be better. I got to hustle more. I got to work more. And if I'm honest, God, I'm a bit let down by you right now. I don't know how I could pour all this in and then you just let this happen. Maybe you have the same experience in your industry or your work, whatever you do. And as a result, I feel a sense of rejection. What happens when we get rejected? We begin to control. We control. And the moment control sets in, guess what else sets in? Hard-heartedness. Because see, control grows a hard heart. And we begin to, you know, hustle more. And we have a sense of pride. And we even, you know, begin to think everything should be about me. But see, when we flip the light switch on, we flip the lights on, allow the light to come and invade that moment, allow Jesus to begin to come into those dark spaces, when we begin to grab on tightly, guess what's on the other side of control? On the other side of control is something called curiosity. Curiosity is on the other side of control. Now curiosity is fascinating because, you know, it's where we go, okay, God, I don't get this, and it kind of is a bit painful, but I wonder, I'm curious how you're going to work this all out. I'm curious to see how you're going to use this for good. I trust in the midst of this, even in the rejection moment. I mean, there's times where I've been rejected, and it's in the midst of that I realize that was part of God's protection in the long term for me and or for someone else. Hey, God, I'm curious to see how you're going to do this, and I get to stand in awe and wonder of how God's going to work in this moment. Now, the second pathway, there's another theme that we travel into darkness in, and that's the theme of comparison. And we all do this one, right? I mean, all of us, we all have a tendency to compare. And what does comparison do? I mean, it's judgment, right? When we compare, it's you know, I'm trying to figure out if I'm greater than or less than everybody else around me. I'm either one up or one down. All right, are they one step ahead of me? Are they one step behind me? Am I better? Am I losing? Am I ahead? It creates a sense of scarcity. Oh my gosh, it's going to run out. I got to get mine while it's there. And so, I mean, even Instagram at night, right, or Facebook, whatever you do on the social medias, I mean, you can numb out mindlessly at night just sitting on the couch, but it seduces, right? It seduces, and before long, you're sucked into comparison. Oh my gosh, look where they are. Look where they're vacationing. Look at the new job. I was at a conference last week with a bunch of pastors, and it was fascinating because I don't know how it is in your industry when you go to like a trade show or a conference with a whole bunch of people that do the same thing you do. Typically, when I'm in that setting, there's always the threat of comparison in the background of every conversation. You know what I'm saying? It's like the background music to every dialogue. You talk to somebody from another place, another location, they're like, well, so how old are you? How long you guys been around? How big are you? You know, what's coolest and greatest and latest thing you guys been doing? So there's always a sense of, are we better? Are we worse? Are we further along? Are we not? And this can consume you. It consumes me at times. In fact, comparison takes us into those dark places. And when I interact with pastors, I mean, I can do a little show and tell, and I can bring darkness into their life, or maybe I can feel darkness myself. All I have to do is tell our story and just the highlights, by the way. Because if I were to just show you, hey, here's where Crosspoint began back in 2007. You know, this is our preview service when we were in an auditorium across the street at Fall Creek. Our launch team was 55 people. About 35 were in the room right there. The other, you know, 20 adults are out caring for kids and doing kids' environments. This is before we grand opened, all right? And you can go, oh, well, that was a humble beginning. It's like a microphone and a couple speakers, right? And then you fast forward to our launch, you know, a month later when we grand opened and we had about 200 people, 190 people. Though I looked at this picture this week and I thought, I can identify like 25 of them as my family who never planned to come here. So, I mean, it was overinflated, if I'm honest, right? I don't tell everybody that. I'm just being honest and revealing. I'm shedding the light on this for you. But then if I go, but, you know, 12 years later, I mean, we moved into this cool place and all of a sudden one, not all, but this is one of our three Easter services. Look what God did. And people go, ooh, And if you've not experienced that, you step back and you go, what's wrong with me? Because that's not happening in my life. And so on the other side of comparison, when we expose light into the places where we compare, on the other side of that is what's called celebration. See, celebration comes when we allow the light to come in and we begin to see what God is doing and what we get to celebrate in the midst. I was standing right down here in the front row last weekend during one of our services, and I just had this moment when the band was leading us and we were singing and worship, and I just had this moment where I had this thought, oh my gosh, God, how in the world did we get here? And I looked up and I was watching the screens and the lights and the haze, because that's when the Holy Spirit flows into the room, as we all know. And the band and the whole team and everything that was happening and all the production, I'm like, oh my gosh, how did we get here? Because it took me back to 2007 when there were 35, 40 of us standing in an auditorium across the street. I mean, I got emotional. I just had this moment where I'm like, oh my gosh, God. I had a flashback to all the moments, the major sacrificial moments where hundreds of us sacrificed blood, sweat, tears, money to get into this place, to continue to create a place for people to find their way to God. And then here we are. And see, if I miss all that and I just show the highlights, then it's easy for me to go, well, gosh, we're not as far along as somebody else. Or so-and-so, they're not nearly as far along as us. What's wrong with you? But see, when I know the full story and I'm not just looking at the highlight reel, I go, oh my gosh, God, look at everything you've done. It's an honor to be a part of it. And I just want to worship you and say thank you. And that was my moment right down here in front last weekend. Because celebration's on the other side of comparison when we allow the light to come in. And then the third pathway. It's one more pathway that we travel into dark places. There's many more, but these are the three we're going to talk about today. And this is what's called comfort. Comfort. See, we like comfort, right? They don't call it a hustle boy chair. They call it a lazy boy. Yeah. I mean, a hustle boy. Why would I want to sit in that chair, right? And so, you know, we've made comfort one of our primary objectives. We made comfort one of our primary filters. We make decisions based on comfort. I mean, metaphorically, like, I want to have a nice little family and a nice little community. I want to have a solid bank account. I want to, you know, put my kids in a private school so they don't have anything happen to them, you know, like we see in the world. I want to, you know, wear helmets everywhere. Never let them go out without a helmet, right? And I hope I die when I have my last breath. I hope it happens in the middle of the night in my sleep so I don't feel a thing, because I don't want to be uncomfortable. I mean, we grasp and long and do everything possible to fund comfort in our lives. Now, I don't know, when I was a kid, call me crazy, but we rode bikes and scooters and skateboards and mini bikes, and we scuffed our elbows, I broke arms, I was in casts all the time. It wasn't comfortable, but it was life, and we kept doing it even after the breaks, and without a helmet too, I might say. And in fact, how many of you, just out of curiosity, wore a helmet as a kid riding your bike? Let me just see your hands. Yeah, a few of us, yeah. If you're over 40, you know exactly where I'm going with this, right? We never wore a helmet in my, you know what happened in my neighborhood if you wore a helmet? My friends would get a dull object and beat you in the head if you wore a helmet. They would take that sucker off and they would beat you. We didn't ride bikes with helmets. We didn't ride motorbikes, mini bikes, snowmobiles, maybe snowmobiles because it's so cold and you want it to be warm, but we didn't wear helmets at all. Yeah, if I would have invested in helmet stock at 18 years old, man, I'd be a millionaire now because we're all about comfort and protection, right? Now, if you see me riding my bike, I still don't wear a helmet. It's not that I'm against helmets. What I'm really kind of pushing against is this longing that we always have for comfort and safety. Comfort and safety. We long for this bubble-wrapped life. And you know what that does for us? It grows complacency. And we stumble along through life and we never really experience anything life-giving. We never really step out and see God do something amazing because he doesn't need to. We live a life where everything's controlled and we don't need anything amazing from God. And we never really experience anything life-giving because it's all comfortable and under control. And I think Jesus wants to say, wake up, wake up, wake up. When you turn the lights on, you know what's on the other side of comfort? It's courage. Courage is on the other side of comfort, where we try new things and we step out to do things we've never experienced. Some of you did this over the last 6 weeks. You went to a cemetery and did a prayer experience. Some of you have never even been to a funeral in your life, and yet you went to a cemetery. All right, you stepped out and you loved people that are enemies of yours. You wrote notes to them to ask for their forgiveness. You did crazy things. And as a result of that, you grew because you let light shine in. I mean, for some of you, it might be even getting in the baptism tub today. It's always been, oh, I don't want to be uncomfortable in front of people. Maybe today is the day you walk out of your row. It's going to be a bit uncomfortable. And you say, I'm going to go into the light. I'm going to let some light shine in. I'm going to declare, I'm with Jesus. And Jesus, I want your light in my life. See, 4 years ago, I did one of the most uncomfortable things I've ever done in my working life here at Crosspoint. We'd just done a long, hard push to get into this space, into this building from across the street at Fall Creek Intermediate School. And I was in a board meeting with one of our governance board meetings, and the board chair said to me, he said, Kurt, we want you to take a sabbatical this year. Now, some of you have heard about this. If not, a sabbatical is like, it's a biblical thing where every 7 years, pastors take 3 months off, one quarter of the year off to refresh, disconnect, rejuvenate, recharge the batteries. And it's a very biblical thing. I looked at them like a deer in the headlights look. I'm like, what are you talking about? I think I'm functionally ADD. I would go mad. I'd go crazy. I can't do that. See, my comfort as an entrepreneur, as a developer, a catalyst, somebody who's always pushing to the next thing, my comfort is always being on the go and always trying to develop something or push something to the next level. That's my comfort. And so this idea of pulling back and just letting myself be recharged was very scary to me. And so I kind of negotiated with him. I said, hey, I've heard about this plan where instead of 13 weeks once every 7 years, you would give me 14 weeks. I was negotiating for more, I guess you could say. But I said, how about you spread those 14 weeks over 7 years, give me 2 extra weeks every year, and I tag those onto 2 other vacation weeks that I already have and do 1 month away every summer as a rest and study and renewal break. And they agree. They said, that's cool. And so, you know, but then when I got into it, I'm like, why did I do this? Because, you know, the first 10 days were incredibly difficult, trying to disconnect from email and God, what's going on? And I had a great team here, but it was just hard for me to not be pushing and going and developing and creating. And I think the bigger thing that was going on was I wasn't sure if I would be okay with who Kurt Walters had become when I'm just Kurt and Dad. And I didn't have a platform and a place to move things forward and to feel productive and to make things happen. In fact, I even had a deeper question that I was wrestling with, and that was, am I going to be happy with the person that I've become? And when I don't have all the lights and all the sound and all the people around and all the cool stuff happen, am I going to be happy with who Kurt Walters is? And about 20 days in, I'll never forget this moment. I was sitting out by a pool, and it's like God impressed on me. He said, Kurt, you have done what I've asked you to do. You start a Crosspoint. It's off the ground. It's going. It's running. You know, the rocket's moving. It's enough. It's enough. And in that moment, my soul just, oh my gosh. And I'm like, but we have more to do. And we've just started the first chapter. We're going to the second chapter. And we want to be so much further. It's enough. And what I realized in that moment, see, I spent my whole life chasing, trying to have enoughness. And in that moment, it's like God said, it's enough. And there was a peace that just came through. And it's like God said, now you still get to be a part of this, but it's not about proving something. And I tell you what, it was almost like God was saying, if I'm enough and you have me, then that makes you enough. And that just sunk deep into my soul. And I tell you what, I said, okay, God, if you can use a guy who's somewhat erratic in tendencies and prone to addictions and has this, you know, innate ability to really never be satisfied and has way bigger dreams than he'll ever, you know, realize in his life, if you say I'm enough, then I'm gonna be okay with that. I'm enough. And maybe that's what, you know, you're here for today, is to hear Jesus say to you, you're enough. You're enough. In fact, I want to pray for us right here. And, you know, because you were meant for the light. You were not meant for the dark. I mean, John says in him was life, and that light, life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. I mean, this world, you know what this world's most hungry for? It's hungry for people who are vulnerable and willing to say, you know, I'm kind of messed up. I don't have it all together. But there's one who came and illuminated my life, and he actually illuminates those dark places. And those places become light. And even the darkness cannot overcome it. Some of us today, we need to flip the light switch on. So I just want to pray for us. So every head bowed and eye closed in the room. If you're somebody who's sitting here this morning and you struggle with control, I just want you to put your hand up in the air right now. If you have a hard time not having your hands on the wheel of control, just put your hand and hold it up so I can see you. I want to pray for you. God, for every person that's got their hands up right now, would you remind them they were not made for the dark? They were made for the light. And God, I just pray that you would help them to see in whatever situation's on their mind right now that there is a spirit of curiosity on the other side where they can let go and say, okay, God, I don't know how this is going to go, but I'm going to trust you. I'm going to be curious to see what you do. And I pray this in the name of Jesus for them. There's some of you who are in the dark and stuck in comparison. If you, as I was talking through comparison, you're like, that's me. I compare all the time. I'm one up or one down. Put your hand up in the air. Just throw it up so I can see it nice and tall. Yeah, I can see it. Okay, I want to pray for you. God, I pray for every person whose hand is raised right now that you would remind them they are not made for the dark. They're made for the light. And those places where they compare, those places where they feel like they're not enough, I pray that you would help them hear right now. You're enough. You're enough. And help them to see that there is celebration on the other side of that comparison. That there's the ability to say, oh my gosh, God, I may not be what everybody else is, but that doesn't matter. I'm celebrating what you're doing in me right now. Help us to see that today, I pray. And there's some of us in this room who, it's comfort's our thing. That's where we go in the darkness. If that's you, if you just kind of, comfort is your thing, throw your hand up in the air. Let me just see your hand. If you're like, yeah, I kind of just, complacency set in. I'm not experiencing all I believe God wants. God, I pray that you would help them to see that you did not make them for the dark, but you made them for the light. And help them to see, God, that you are a God who can do immeasurably more than they can ever ask or imagine. And God, help them to see that there's courage on the other side. When they step out, there is courage that you will bring into their life. You said, I am not a God of fear, but I'm a God of might and power. And that we were created to follow in that spirit. So God, I pray and ask all these prayers, Jesus, that you would work because you are the light of the world. And I pray that you make your light visible in us today. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Oh my gosh. Doesn't that feel good? Aren't you like, oh man. Because we just let light come into some of those dark places. Now, in a few moments, we are going to have the opportunity to mark this moment, this whole journey with water baptisms. We do this at the end of every journey. It's something we do. It's just a celebration point for those of us who have said, hey, I've taken steps with Jesus or new steps with Jesus, or it's just time for me to kind of punctuate and say, Jesus, I'm with you, you're with me. One of the guys in my men's group, he was talking early on in our journey about a moment of surrender that happened for him in the seats right here, in the venue. And he talked about how he resisted and finally surrendered. And that surrender led to just opening his life up to a whole new level. And it happened through baptism. Take a look at his story right here.
So we came to church in the summer and became aware as we walked through the doors that there were pop-up baptisms that were taking place. And baptism was something that Monica and I had talked about doing, but the idea of spontaneously deciding to go up on stage was something that frightened me. And I said, well, that's great for whoever's getting it done, and I look forward to the day when we can do it. And as we got deeper into the service, I thought more and more about Monica's spontaneity and how excited she gets to come to church, and what the transformation has been like for her in following Jesus and being a part of this community. And I thought, she's gonna do this. And when it became time to get people to go to the back, to get prepared, to come up into the water, she turned to me and said, I wanna do it. And that was the thing that I feared the most, was not being prepared, not wanting to take that leap, not feeling ready. And I'm getting some of those emotions inside me right now. It takes me back to that day, because when she said that, I grabbed her, and she told me later that I gripped her so tight and I would not let her move. And it may have been 10 seconds, it may have been 2 minutes, I don't know how long, but in my mind I started thinking about, hey, I've been trying things my way, and what I'm really looking for is a new way. and to follow. It was a moment of surrender for me to go from the clenched fists of holding her so tightly to opening up and really following her as God spoke through her that we wanted to take that next step in our faith journey. So the thing that kind of got me a little bit more opened up as I went back to prepare for the baptism was the boxers were identical to mine that I have at home, Gray Hanes. And I'm actually wearing them today. And but it was something that provided a little bit of familiarity. And looking back, maybe that was the comfort that I needed to get out of the bathroom to walk forward and come into the waters. So that's a nice little side benefit is you might get a free pair of boxers out of the deal. I can tell you what I felt on that day was I felt compelled to take a leap of faith, to follow, to do something uncomfortable, and to ultimately change. And I think you know what that feeling is, and it's when it's met with that resistance, that clenching of the fist, that holding on so tightly. Once you open up, it's the greatest feeling. I remember Kurt said to me when I was in the water, this is the greatest decision you'll ever make. And that will resonate with me for the rest of my life.
Man, how about that? Let's thank Todd. Man, great, great story. Well, maybe you connect with what Todd just said. Maybe God's prompted you before and you're like, oh, I'm just hanging on, I'm hanging on. Maybe today's your day. You know, for some of us, this is a moment where we're allowing that light to invade, to come shine. And you might feel like, well, I'm not good enough. I got some dark places. You know, the light exposes. I mean, you're not gonna come up here and confess everything, but there's something about saying, I'm with Jesus and he's with me. And I begin to walk in a different level in the light. And so this happens when we take the step into the waters of baptism. You know, Thursday evening, I had a conversation with a lady after service, and she was in tears. She said to me, Kurt, I just felt like God was saying I need to take this step tonight, and I didn't do it, and I wish I would have. And we talked about that a little bit, and I said, well, we got two more services, you know, Sunday, so maybe she'll be here back here this morning. But here was the interesting thing. She said, I regret not stepping out of my row. And I said something to her. I said, you know what, can I tell you, just like Todd said, I told him, I tell every single person, it's the best decision you ever make. And you will never regret taking the step into the waters of baptism if that's your next step. If you've received Jesus, that's your next step. But you may regret not taking the step out of the aisle. And so you may not have come prepared today. That's totally cool because our team is prepared. We came prepared even if you didn't. As Todd experienced, we've got a team out in the commons right now. We've got, you know, shorts, t-shirts, boxers, brand new. You can take them with you if you want. You can wear them every day if you want. All right, we don't reuse those, by the way. We send them out or throw them away. You know, hair product, towels, everything you need to walk out in the same dry clothes you came in with. If you need somebody to go with you, bring a friend, bring somebody with you, a family member, a parent. If there's somebody that's been significant in your journey, a small group leader, have them get in the tub with you. We love that. We want them to share in that moment with you. Don't let that hold you back. You know, oh, I got to go do this by myself. Our team will walk through the whole process with you. And as you come into the waters, the only question I'm going to ask today is who's your Savior? And if you can say Jesus and you've not been water baptized, this is your next step. I'm not going to ask you, hey, are you behaving right? Are you got it all together? That's not the question. Who's your Savior? If it's Jesus, then baptism is an outward expression of saying, hey, I'm letting the light shine. I'm letting Jesus illuminate my life. I'm here. Don't have it all together. I'm a work in progress, but he's doing his work in me. So the band's going to sing a song for us, a number of songs. We're going to baptize the rest of the morning. I'll be in the water the rest of the morning. We're going to invite the power of Jesus to rid out the darkness in this room, even as we sing. And so I want you to go ahead and stand with me. And if you are ready to take the step of baptism, you can exit to the back. And our team will help you get prepared. And as you're processing through this, let me just say, if you were experiencing a moment ago this sense of, oh, I control all the time, and you're right now saying, oh my gosh, I want to hang on to the armrest. I don't want to move, but God's prompting me. Man, no, there's curiosity on this other side. Just trust that God's going to do something amazing possibly as you take a step out today. Or maybe if your thing's comparison and you're like, man, if people see me get in that water, they will think I'm a hypocrite. You know, that's crazy. That's how all of us are. Because it's not about our behavior. It's about what God has done in us and knowing Jesus as our Savior. Don't let somebody else's thoughts about you prevent you from getting in. Don't let comparison keep you back. Because on the other side of that celebration, look at what God's doing. And if comfort's your thing, and you don't like to be uncomfortable, maybe this is your step of just saying, God, I want the light to invade. And I'm going to take a step out, and I'm going to trust you're going to give me courage, just like Todd did, some courage to take this step that's going to begin a whole new trajectory in my life. So if at any point you want to leave, as I pray, you can still head out at any over any of the next few songs. Let me pray for us. God, we just thank you for being a God who illuminates the dark places, and we all need it, myself included. And we just pray that that happens as we sing this song, as we sing these next three songs, God, that you would illuminate the dark places and expose the light into our lives. And God, for those of us who need to take this step of baptism, I just pray that you would help us take this step. If we want to receive you today, Jesus, for the first time, no better way to do that than saying, yes, Jesus, I receive you as my Savior and get baptized. And so, Father, we just thank you and we pray that you move and bring us exactly what we need.